Blog Talk Radio.
The irony is that most of the stores that were destroyed during the riots were owned by black people.
That's stupid, though. I mean, why trash your own neighborhood?
Well, that's my point. It's an irrational act. It's like an expression of rage by people who feel neglected and turned away by the system.
Exactly. I mean, it's like we had in Watts or right. The riots in Chicago in 68.
That's crap. I don't buy that for a minute. Calling a riot an irrational expression of rage, that's such a cop-out. It's opportunism at its worst. It's a bunch of people grabbing any excuse they can find to go and loot a store. Nothing more. You know, the fact that these people ripped off the stores in their own communities, all that reflects is the degree to which these people have absolutely no respect for the law at all, and certainly no concept of, like, community or civic responsibility.
Well, wait a minute. White people commit crimes against white people, too.
Yeah, but they're not offing each other in record numbers all over America. Look at the statistics, for Christ's sakes. One in every three black males is in some phase of the correctional system.
Beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
In abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to yet another edition, a midweek in review edition of Afro Nerd Radio, a.k.a. Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We do have this show advertised for the illustrious and equally beauteous Rolanda Watts. Unfortunately, she will not be appearing. She did give us enough notice. So, folks, I don't want you thinking or hating on this lovely woman. But you know how Blog Talk works. So you may not be familiar with how Blog Talk works. Then you submit these requests in for high-profile guests, and, you know, you really don't have enough time to cancel these things. It just could not be, you know, once you send it out into the Blog Talk universe, it's already posted. So we were informed that we could expect to reschedule, and she will be on real soon. But unfortunately for this broadcast, she's not going to be on. But we do apologize for that mishap. No ill will toward Ms. Watts or toward Blog Talk. It's just that, again, when you get these high-profile guests and you submit the request and you get top billing, it's sent out there, and you really can't retract it. So she will not be on, but she will be on at some later date. Nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, the show must and will go on with myself and, of course, the great Captain. Listen, let's go to a quick groove. If you don't mind, this is urban alternative music. We do like to play you things that the conventional radio stations refuse to play. They will not play the good stuff, folks. You know how it works. Anyway, this is The Roots, you know, Jimmy Fallon's Roots. The Roots and Bahamadia, who has a new forthcoming album. We've got to talk to that Philadelphia sister. Yes, I'm being tribal. This is The Roots featuring Bahamadia, a classic. Proceed 3, we'll be back, and let's groove.
Rock on to the
break of dawn, freak on to the early morn, Gaddafi and Sufjan. You got it going on to my man Big Sean. You got it going on now. Yo, you got the roots in the house. We also got Bahamadia in the house, representing lovely. With your ears now perceive, it's slavery you wouldn't believe as we proceed. I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic.
Let's kill off the small talk and just elaborate. The roots collaborate, I say myself is rather great. How the words generate, whole crews disintegrate when I penetrate. As if and in the course, flow with intensive force. You better go and check your source about my texture course. Simplicity, sometimes complex, you might miss it. But after you critique it, you can kiss it. I'm assisted by your force, at least statistics. When I densify, make it simplify, you feel no sympathy. My lyrics send you on a permanent excursion. I never went to side when your lifespan was submerging. My style is urban, not suburban when I'm splurging. Gosh, these senses I wash more than detergent. I can split the Red Sea when deadly. Take heed, Ill Adele style while I proceed.
To rock the mic, I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic.
Bahamadie hits the melodies, melody, brand newbie, funk doobie, choosy with the tactics when I get raw, like dice, nice, with the flavor, do you want more, of the organics, pure, eargasmatic, from distortion to statics, automatic, systematic, I'm nasty at it, so hand me the 5 microphones like you did Illmatic, one time for the mind, rhyme me coming from an ill-adult state of mind, the world is mine, whole or halftime, all the time. I shall proceed. I'm moving on, baby. I shall proceed to remain on point like an infrared beam. Succeed in chasing out the ultraviolet dreams. No mask like shorty, cause it's all about cool.
All right. Okay, once again, that was Bahamadia with the Roots Proceed 3, a classic. Folks, you know what I'm going to say. You hear Bahamadia. You hear how she's lyrically able to really throw down the lyrical dexterity. And I'm just amazed. I repeat this. My spiel is on repeat. It's on repeat because I don't understand how this type of hip-hop is no longer attractive theoretically. When someone is able to do that, and you only have one female hip-hop artist of note commercially, what's happening here? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Come on now. Please. Shouting out Sebastian Elkaby, my friend, who we had on a few days ago. He's scratching his head like I'm scratching my head. I'm lost. Okay. Anyway, we will continue to do the damn thing. We will continue to do the urban alternative, the black rock and everything. And, of course, I cannot do it without my partner in white collar crime. Captain, your time is now. You're needed on the bridge. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Now, there's something I just want to say very quickly about baseball. This is for the sports aficionados, the sports billies, just quickly. You know the problem with baseball right now? The game is too slow. It is too slow. The game is a yawn. You know why it's a yawn? You need more black people out there. We can say one thing. Black people can run. Just as people will say black people are in prison. That's obvious. You go down to a prison, what do you see? You see black people. We can obviously say that black people can run. Baseball is a yawn. The game is too slow. Put more black people out there. Speed it up. It'll be more exciting. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk about that for a moment, I guess because of time constraints, but you did text message me on, or texted me, I should say, on an article about this, about they're really, really trying to ramp up the need to have black players. I mean, this is in the wake of the new upcoming 42, the 42, the film with, about, of course, Jackie Robinson. And I said jokingly, I didn't tell you this, but in my head, I said, you know, genetically, there is African DNA still involved in the sport. They won't own up to it. I'm talking about the Latin players that they go to the Dominican Republic to get, shutting out Sally V. Genetically, black folks are still playing the sport, but that's for another show. I'm just throwing it out there. They're not going to own up to that. Well, what are your thoughts about there needing to be? Well, you said what you said, but you know, I know you're onto something. But what do you think about the premise of the article that they're really trying to promote the need to bring in more black players? That they're trying to, you know, actually have a program set up again, I guess, to get black folks involved.
I don't really know. I'm neither here nor there with that article. I really don't know, you know. But I know this. If you want to make the game better, you speed the game up some, that in turn makes more people watch. More people watch, that leads to more advertising dollars. More advertising dollars, the baseball teams can make more money. There you go. It's really simple. It's a yawn. The game is a yawn until you get to the World Series.
But for some reason, growing up, I don't remember it being that way until maybe the last 15 years.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
You think about, I mean, even in the 80s with the Daryl Strawberry era, I don't remember it being a boring game. I don't remember anyone talking about baseball being boring. You know? I'm going to go back in the 70s now, 70s, early 80s, when Reggie Jackson played. Was it really? Mr. October, was it really boring then?
Well, in comparison, in my opinion, now this is just my opinion, in comparison, comparing it to basketball and football, yes, it's a more boring sport. But the art of stealing bases, that's not even there though now. The baseball players are big. They hit very well. That's fine and dandy. But they're moving in slow motion around the bases. They're moving in slow motion out in the outfield. And I guarantee you, now I'm no longer 25, but half of the professional baseball players, if we raced a 40-yard dash, I could beat them right now.
Well, you know what?
And I'm not a professional athlete.
I ask you a question. So you're bringing up my muscle memory now. Okay, I'm going to date myself.
If but I was 25, I'd kill them.
Are there any 21st century George Forsters or Mickey Rivers?
I don't know about that.
You brought up stealing. Now you're making remember why it was more interesting back then.
Yes.
Because you did see that.
Yes.
It was exciting.
Yes.
I remember being somewhat of a Yankee fan in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being. I'm no longer really. I'm still kind of a Mets underdog guy. But in the 80s, I was kind of with it. You had who was the cantankerous manager back then?
Billy Wharton.
Oh my God! It was wrestling on the field. See, you had personalities back then. I mean, that's the reason why things people were. What's her name? Marge Schott, who was a racist. I mean, she was a racist, but at least she made it interesting.
Yes, exactly.
I have niggas on the field. My niggas on the field, I remember. I'm paraphrasing. Pardon my usage of the N-word, ladies. That's what Marge Schott said. You had characters. You had characters. You don't have characters anymore. That's why it's whack. You know, we have a caller. Let's open up the lines. Folks, we're going to be all over the map. Again, let me repeat this. No fault of her own, Ms. Watts will not be appearing for this particular episode. She did give us enough time. But again, when you submit the request through Blog Talk, you really can't retract it. So we're told that we can, of course, reschedule. So I'm expecting a call back as to when we can get her, when we can get her on. We have to get her on because she's talking about diversity with magazine covers, black magazine covers. So I have a lot to talk about. You know, this program is very much about diversity. So I even want to know what she means by diversity. So it's going to be very interesting when she gets on. And plus, she's fine. So I'm very biased toward fine, attractive women. That's just me. I will admit that. You know, let's open up the lines. Let's see if we have a call. Let's get into it. Again, folks, we're going to be all over the map. I have quite a few things to get into. We got to talk about LL Cool J and, of course, Brad Paisley. You know what? Let's open. Wow. Let's go to the phones, and then we'll mix it up. Caller, welcome to Africa Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. 661. What's up?
Hello. Thank you for having me on the program. My name is Deshaun Porter, or Prince Big D. I have another show on the network, but I was listening to your show. And what I want to find out is, a lot of times when you think about conservative talk, they obviously want to support cuts in programs, cuts in services, but they don't look at from the people who are disabled or actually going through real tough problems as a person with disability. I am partly blind, by the way, and I use programs like food stamps, and I am on SDI and SSI, and a lot of those times when they hear that these programs are going to be cut or at least threatened to be on the table, then they worried. And then I was on the streets for a long time, but I keep getting back because, because of good people. But the problem is we don't have no jobs to be able to live the way we want to live. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously you're talking about the negotiations that are going on between the Republicans and Barack Obama in Congress. And Barack Obama submitted a proposal where many of these social programs are being cut. The liberals are livid with President Obama, but I suspect he wants them to be livid. He wants them to be upset. But the reality is that everyone is going to go through some kind of painful experience with what's happening.
Right.
With our economy.
I've been homeless. I've been on the streets, and you know, I've been on the air off and on, and I had to be off because I was on the streets, and you know, obviously I couldn't be on the air. But with these programs being cut, we need help because these programs are either until we get a better paying job, if there's not a lot of, or we could go help with college, and they want to cut that too. I mean,
well,
you know,
listen,
some people think about moving to another country or thinking about trying to get rich or trying to be in business for themselves so they could live the way they want to live. But it's hard for people with disabilities because jobs are not following the ADA that was signed into law.
Well, listen, you may or may not know, but the captain has somewhat of an independent political bent. I have somewhat of a conservative political bent. And I say somewhat because I'm not a wholesale Republican. I mean, there's some things that I believe that all things in moderation. Some things have to be looked at from a conservative point of view. Some things have to be looked at from a liberal point of view. But for the most part, I do look at things more or less toward the conservative side. But as I was telling you, the issue is the president has to somehow bargain with Republicans. And for whatever reason, we could talk about race, we could talk about what's preventing him from doing that, from him being successful. They do not want to cooperate with this president. He wants, in order for him to get his belief that the wealthy have to be taxed, in order for there to be negotiations to take place, he has to give up something. And he had to give up something on social programs. And the reality is that you said that, you know, you're talking about going to a different country. This is a worldwide thing. The issues of austerity is a worldwide thing. You have countries that are bankrupt. Look at what's happening with Greece. Look what's happening with Spain. This is a world. America is part of the world. We played that exclusionary thing for many years. You know, go it alone. Our economy is interconnected, sir. So mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. I think it's problematic, but it's someone is going to have to give. Ideally, everyone is going to have to hurt. In order to get from
now,
beyond where we are right now, in order for us to get from where we are right now, everyone is going to hurt, and no one wants to give up anything. That's why we are at a stagnant economy right now. No one wants to go through a rough period. The poor, sure enough, don't want to go through with it. The middle class, and certainly not the wealthy. But in order for us to get past this point, everyone is going to have to suffer. Someone's going to have to cut.
Now, do you
Thank
support
you.
Help for people with disability? I mean, do you support, now, even if the Republicans and the Democrats do get together and say, look, we have to help people with disability. They can't front the fair parts of these cuts. They can't deal with it already. I mean, they're in the lowest income bracket. I'm part of it too.
Hold up. I'm gonna let the captain speak on them because we have to go to another topic. But
okay.
I don't think that disability programs should be listen. I don't think anything should be cut, but I know the reality is that it's going to have to happen. I don't think the entire program is being cut, but sure, some things are going to have to be cut. No one wants to lose anything. The wealthy don't want to be taxed, and those who are on SSI, those who are collecting unemployment, those who are on Social Security, no one wants to lose anything. So what happens?
Right,
nothing.
Because we can't, according to some of them. We can't work because there's jobs that say, oh, people who are blind, or other types of disability, they're not, they look as far as safety wise, they're a liability. I had that said to me hundreds of times every time I look for a job.
Let me bring the captain on this. Captain, what are your thoughts? Quickly.
My thoughts are simple. It's the situation is this. The state of the world at this given time, everybody's going to hurt. It's the bankers that are really calling the shots. They dictate to the leaders of the world, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in. And being that that's the situation, all of us are going to hurt. All of us are going to lose. The rich have a lot to lose. So even when they are hit, they're not really hit. The lesser people, they lose a little bit. It's like they're losing everything. So that's the state of affairs that we're in right now. Everyone is going to hurt a bit. Some are going to hurt a lot, you know, and that's the reality of it. And I do not support cutting programs for the poor or anything of the sort or people with disabilities. Now it's time for us to move on to the next topic. Thank you for your call, Mr. 661. Let's move along.
Thank you.
Sir Apple Nerd.
All right. Listen, we appreciate him calling in. Kind of took us for a sidetracks a little bit, Cap, but anyway, and I forget, this is a political program, but, you know, be that as it may, something that's innocuous. After having that heavy conversation, I almost feel shameful in going into an innocuous thing, but it does seem to resonate with some folks. I got some emails on wanting our opinion on this situation. It's almost died down within a 24-hour period. I mean, that's what it really means to have a 24-hour news cycle when things... We have the attention span of a gnat, Captain, literally, the American public. I'm pretty sure our audience might be aware of this, I wouldn't say burgeoning controversy, might be already over with this accidental racist song with iconic hip-hop artist LL Cool J and country artist Brad Paisley. These guys decided to do a team-up, and they come up with a song called Accidental Racist. I'm going to play a clip from, actually, I think them, actually, on Good Morning America, as they unpack this story. And then the captain and myself will give you our opinion on this thing. This is the Accidental Racist Controversy, GMA, Good Morning America. Hold on, folks.
continues exclusive interview with two titans of entertainment, Brad Paisley and LL Cool J. Their new song, Accidental Racist, raising a lot of eyebrows right now. This is their only interview together, speaking out about their message and what they intended. ABC's Paula Ferris is here with the latest. Good morning to you, Paula.
Good morning. They were just trying to open up a very sensitive conversation. During our interview, you can immediately tell two things. Brad and LL Cool J appear to be legitimate friends. The other is that both men take the message of this song very seriously, but critics will say that message has been lost in translation. The new song may be called Accidental Racist.
I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland.
But in an exclusive interview with ABC News, the two stars who sing it say the national debate it's sparking was every bit intentional.
It ain't like I can walk a mile. Someone else's skin.
I'm not really sure we were going to find any answers, but it was the idea that we would ask the question.
Martin Luther King had a very interesting quote. He said, darkness doesn't drive out darkness, only light can. Hate doesn't drive out hate, only love can.
Right.
So what we're talking about on this song is forgiveness and compassion.
In the song, Paisley and LL Cool J play the parts of a white southerner and a black barista overcoming prejudice and having a back and forth about everything from fashion to slavery.
I'm not advising anyone to truly forget slavery, but what I am saying is forget the slavery mentality, forget the bitterness. Don't get bitter, get better.
After the song hit YouTube Monday, a flurry of headlines dubbed the song everything from a bad idea and horrible to simply misguided.
I got a call from this guy saying, you have you seen anything? I said, no, what are you talking about?
You might want to look at Twitter.
I was like, no, I don't want to look at Twitter. I don't want to look at it.
Critics singling out lines like LL Cool J's offering to let bygones be bygones, and Paisley's saying white Americans are still paying for mistakes that a bunch of folks made before we came.
Some people take exception to some of the lyrics. I respect that. I'm sensitive to that.
Sure. But in the end, I felt like what we had on tape was something that people needed to hear.
In terms of symbols, sometimes I put a skull and crossbones on. And, you know, my wife would get upset with me. But, you know, I'm not a pirate. You know what I'm saying? So if my man got a Confederate flag on, I'm not going to... That don't mean he's a Confederate soldier.
Both stars say that despite the backlash, they are proud of the song and the discussion it is creating.
And let's not be victims of things that happened so long ago.
Right.
Anymore.
But, and at the same time, let's respect it. But then after we respect it, let's also open our hearts up so that we can move forward.
Fascinating conversation there. Now, Brad Paisley's new album was released Tuesday, and while all this talk has not hurt sales, he says the song is, quote, not a stunt, and you can expect to hear yet another collaboration between this duo on LL Cool J's album out later this month. And we're told this is about something a little less controversial, you guys. Lara, love.
Oh, all right. Thank you so much, Paula. And we.
All right. Captain, give us your thoughts on this.
Well, here's the reality. Artists are supposed to be able to express themselves. And in this country, political correctiveness is killing it. It's just killing it. That political correctiveness that's driven by the media engine, the think tank, is killing America. If you want to put out an anti-racist song, you should be able to. If you want to put out a racist song, you should be able to. If you want to put out, I like black people, I like white people, I like Indian people, that's what it's all about, freedom of speech. And the consumer is the one that's supposed to decide whether to turn it on or turn it off. When you turn it off and you don't write about it, you don't talk about it, it goes away very quickly. If you talk about it, write about it, download the song, because they're not really selling too much product these days, you know, as far as CDs and, you know, traditional, you know, wax. It's more or less digital download. The song has a tendency to do well when you're doing that. You don't talk about it, it just disappears.
It's up to you as a consumer. And I'm very much for artist expression. I don't like it, it'll disappear. I switch the channel. That's why you have a dial on radio. That's why we have, you know, all these internet radio stations, internet radio. That's why you have satellite radio. You can tune into whatever you want to listen to. So there you have it. I'm for artist expression. Back over to you.
Well, you know, I hate it when something that's so simple, maybe just in my head, something that's so simple becomes complex to me. If you look at it on a simplistic level, I'm just desirous of better quality music. And this is no mystery to our listening audience. I just want there to be better quality music. So I, on one level, I'm not really a fan of the song because I just don't think it's that good. The subject doesn't bother me. The subject is, you could talk about whatever you want to talk about. And I agree with you, Captain, that you can't censor people because, you know, that's the premise of this country. It's not about censorship. You can say whatever you want to say. You just have to deal with the repercussions after it goes down the way it goes down. I mean, we spoke about Rick Ross. We spoke about Lil Wayne, and they've said some reprehensible things. And I'm not supporting those guys by any stretch of the imagination. I guess my thinking is whatever you decide to do, you have to be prepared for the critique. When we both had Sebastian on Sebastian Elkabee on a few days ago, there's censorship on the quality stuff. That's what it really boils down to is you can say whatever you want to say. Why can't those with quality, you know, the quality music, why is that for some reason the censored music? If you look at it from that perspective, that music is censored. The garbage rises to the top. Now, as far as this particular song, lyrically, what was being said wasn't clever enough, wasn't insightful enough to really throw down on the topic of race. And maybe, you know, when you deal with these kind of songs, whether it's Ebony and Ivory or this song, there have been other songs in the past, and it's always the same, it's always hokey, and you cringe. It's always cringeworthy when folks try to go into this topic and they try to do it in a melodic and very dismissive way. The hip-hop of old addressed these kinds of topics with a lot more flair, and maybe because of the nature of the music, maybe because of who the storytellers were, they were able to really get at these things far more introspectively. Now, it sounds crazy. He's talking about, and also, another thing, too, is that I was listening to Opie and Anthony, not that, you know, it's a comedic show, clownish show, whatever. But hip hop has been around for so long, and the listenership is so diverse that even when white folks, the white guys on this show were unpacking this topic, they were talking about it. They said, "Wait a minute, this song really is talking about two out of touch guys. Both of these guys are out of touch," and I had to agree with them. So we have. Because it's no longer the kind of thing that when hip-hop in the early days was perceived to be exclusive to only black and brown folks, white people at that time were more outsiders, and they were looking at it from an outsider perspective. Now, you had a 40-year art form. So now you have whites that are able to analyze and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, You have the top golfer in the world is of part African descent, and the top selling rap artist is white. You have a generation that is beyond this in some way, or if anything, if you're going to discuss race, it's got to be a lot more complex than talking about. You know, excuse my saggy pants, excuse my do-rag. On the show, I kid you not, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is pretty much what they said. On the show, the white guys on the show had said, you know what? Black folks would be checking you for wearing your do-rag outside. That's what the white gentleman said, ladies and gentlemen. They said, and in analyzing this song, you know, they also brought up World Star Hip Hop. Maybe you might have to check out what are you doing to your own on World Star Hip Hop. Now, I had to sit back and say, wait a minute, they're going into it a little differently than I had expected. So everyone has moved a little bit beyond the discussion from where they are right now. That's what's become problematic. So it's not an issue of them not being able to talk about the topic or talk about anything. It's just that it wasn't that good. It just wasn't that damn good. It was very hokey. You know, that's the problem. I'm tired of, you know, and also LL says, and he cleans it up after the fact. Maybe someone spoke to him. Maybe he had a reflective moment. But he says, you know, oh, it's slave mentality that we have to get rid of. Well, you didn't say that. You said, if you forget my gold chain, I'll forget the iron chains. Come on now. Come on. It's a false equivalency. You can't equate these two. But then, if he had said, I'll rethink the mental slaves, the mental slavery, or something about I'll address my mental servitude, or something, he had to be a lot more clever. If you're going to do this, you better be, because the topic is a very emotional one, very, very complex. You better be clever about it. These two, not very clever. And the other guy mentioned on the business side, and the great captain referenced this, is that the reality is country music is probably the last remaining art form that actually moves units in the conventional way. Country music enthusiasts still go out and physically buy the music. That's why you're seeing, you know, whether it's Hootie of Hootie and the Blowfish, I can't remember the gentleman, Darius Rucker. When Darius Rucker, formerly of Hootie and the Blowfish, he moved into that genre. You have a few artists that moved out of their out of the genre that they were known for, and went into country music because, you know what, they're still selling units. So LL Cool J is wanting to be quote unquote relevant in the rap situation, and he's around the same age as Hova, quote unquote Hova, but Jay-Z, God bless him, is a bit more shrewd on marketing when you are a mature adult. He has somehow been able to escape the old man factor in theory, so rather successfully. But LL Cool J, and cool is in his name, Captain, cool is in his name, but he still is kind of dated. And that is what's unfortunate. And that is what truly is unfortunate, because LL, I grew up with LL on his music, but in today's market, it is so youth-oriented. It is so youth-oriented that you better be very sophisticated as a maturing adult if you want to still sell to teenagers. You got to figure out a way to be cool and still palatable to them. And
he's a ghostwriter.
Yeah, he's got it. You know what I mean? He's just... And I was speaking to the Oracle about LL Cool J a few days ago on this very topic, that LL Cool J is around the same age bracket as Jay-Z. And Jay-Z, and this has been written about, Jay-Z has been very successful in still being a 40-plus-year-old guy who's still relevant, still at the top of his game, and the teeny boppers will still buy his music. Under normal circumstances, once you get past 30, it becomes a problem. He's been able to escape that. LL has not. And I see why. Because this music shows me he's a dated individual. Your thoughts, then we'll move along.
He needs a ghostwriter. He needs to up his lyrical game. He needs a ghostwriter now. You know, Jay-Z, you know, no offense to LL, I might have to say that Jay-Z is a bit more talented. You know, not taking anything away from LL Cool J. You know, LL Cool J is definitely what we would call an icon.
definitely an icon. But I would probably have to say Jay-Z's a bit more talented as far as raw talent.
That's slicing bread there. That's slicing it real thin, man, because LL, you know, the Ripper, we're talking about, you know,
I'm trying to tell you. I said Jay-Z.
LL was a lyricist, man. He was known as a lyricist.
That was then. That's, you just said it. Dated. That's what dated means. You sound like you're 88, 87.
Let's go to the caller. I think I know who this is. He said he was going to lay in the cut, but I think he couldn't help himself. Let's go to, he'll introduce himself. Welcome to Africa Radio. I think it's you. Q Storm.
Hey, Captain.
Yeah, 732?
732, Captain. Listen to what the Captain said. It's music. A country guy and a hip-hop guy got together. God bless them. If they make money, God bless them. You like the song, listen to the song.
I thought it was Q. I'm sorry.
That's it. I haven't talked to you guys in a while, so I just want to let you know I'm checking in.
Wait, repeat that again? Repeat that again? Excuse me? Repeat that again?
Repeat it again. The middle-aged white man, not ashamed. I'm just saying, two guys made a song, and it's making history here. I mean, I haven't even heard the damn thing, but it's been a talk all day.
Well, you know what? You're lucky. You're lucky you didn't hear it. All right. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
You know, my predominant, and I said at the top, my main issue is it's not a good song. You know, it's just not a good song. You know, but I don't care about them. I think there should be more cross collaboration. Listen, you see, you know, just think about it. Jehovah. I'm calling him that. Jay-Z, God forbid, Jay-Z performs with Justin Timberlake as Easy as Pie. The actual demonstration, maybe it's about being demonstrative. You see how these guys are able to connect musically, they keep them moving. You know what I mean? That's what makes it very, the world has actually moved forward. Just the very black and white dynamic thing has played itself out on some level. When I mentioned Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake doing what they did, and they're touring together, I mean, you know, that's where we are really now. That's what makes maybe that's why Jay-Z is a cooler guy, because the racial question is already kind of working itself out as it is being demonstrated, especially on a musical tip. There you go. That's what, you know, maybe you got to take us back to 1980, LO, I think. I don't know, 84, you know? Maybe it would have made sense.
All right. We're right along. All
right, you know what? Let's go to a musical jammy jam. When we get back, oh, God, Captain, wow. You know, the minute I said, I got to take it back now. The minute I said that we're moving forward, someone is trying to pull us back. There are some folks that are doing slave reenactments, Captain, in a very disturbing way. Did you see that article I sent you from the Daily Post?
Of course.
Shouting out Sergio, Sergio Mim sent this to me. I could barely get through this thing. It took me about a good 24 hours because I read the first portion of it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to prepare myself for the idiocy. I have to do that sometimes. Sometimes something is so patently stupid that I have to prepare myself to actually get through it. Okay. Jammy Jam. This is, okay, let's go to Lost on Repeat by Lyric Jones and Esperada Spalding. Lost on Repeat. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
There's no melody that works in every life. We all miss a beat, but never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We'll never lose tempo while the food's locked on.
11:30 in the a.m., got slumpy bumping. Didn't eat nothing, so I threw together something. Pop in my favorite Spike Lee joint. Do the right thing, cause lately was the case in point. Racism, check. Debt, minimum wage, check. In the hood, being misunderstood by just trying to do good. Trying to get in where I fit in,
whatever that means.
In this male-dominated rap scene, was just not happening. Of course not the way I wanted to go. Be undeniable or not as rewriting my rhymes to groom the flow. Feel like I had the world on my shoulders. And hip-hop, man, it's like in dog years. I get older and bolder, but yet still I'm an infant. Repeating to myself,
I blow up in an instant.
But like a puzzle piece, I have a set place. So I move at my set pace, and it's hard with my game face. Yeah.
There's no melody that works in every life.
We
I never lose tempo when the songs are coming through. There's no melody that works in every key. We all need a beat.
Yeah, we do.
I never lose tempo when the songs are coming.
Friends and fam come and go more like a frequent bus. For reasons why I weigh it heavy when folks say
I love you.
Wish I can keep the good times on repeat. Syndication. Get a sneak peek of what I go through weekly in the station. I guess in life I'm trying to cheat, know what the future holds. Protect my future goals, go to God to get my future told. Now I know I can't compare most to me. They're like a melody that doesn't work in my key, certainly. Sometimes a sharp nine is not available. Like attention misplaced in the song, I'm comparable. Makes my whole situation a parable. Teach the world what goes wrong, not always terrible. Lessons before dying on a daily. Seems like sex fraternities trying to haze me, but yet it doesn't faze me. Cause it's the northern streets that raise me, my defeat that saves me.
There's no melody that works in every life.
Yeah.
We all miss a beat.
Right.
But true. Never lose tempo when the songs are coming.
Yeah.
There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat.
Sometimes we do.
But never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat. We never lose tempo while the sun is out.
We never lose it.
There's no melody,
yeah,
that works in every key. There's no loving in.
Really? What was that?
We never lose tempo while the sun is out.
Esperanza, Lyric Jones.
Okay, we're back. Just as they said, Esperanza Spalding, Lyric Jones, Lost on Repeat. You know, even in that rap lyric, they had two women who are doing the damn thing, and it's so far more complex because we're in 2013, not 1984. That, you know, you just can't, certain things you have to do, you better do it the right way. That's all I have to say. If you're gonna
That was a lot more clever.
Yeah,
LL Cool J situation.
That's where we are. That's where we are, and that's how people were looking at it. So not that they can't attack the topic, but you got to be better at it. You know, that's all it is. I mean, but then you know, we play what we play here. A lot of stuff is pretty simple, but come on now, you better do better next time. All right, listen, I get an email, ladies and gentlemen, from our resident film critic, Sergio Mims. Get an email, and it's I couldn't believe it. I think he entitled it "Black Folks Have Lost Their Damn Minds." And I looked at a little bit of the article. I said, "No, this can't be." And there's a rather provocative photograph, very disturbing photograph, actually. If you go to the Daily Kos, and the name of the article is called "Race, Sex, and BDSM Bondage and Discipline." Sadomasochism, race, sex, and BDSM on plantation retreats where black people go to serve their white masters. Let me repeat this, Captain. Race, sex, and BDSM on plantation retreats where black people go to serve their white masters. It's written by Chauncey De Vega, and I believe he's a blogger. I think it's Three Smart Brothers, I think he's behind. He's got a rather popular blog. Sorry, Mr. De Vega unpacks this weird sexual thing. I think it's definitely some kind of sexual. I mean, it may not be sex in the conventional way, obviously, because it's BDSM. But it does revolve around weird sex games between consenting adults. These are consenting adults with the plantation slavery backdrop. So the photograph that I see, which is disturbing on a lot of different levels, I'm glancing at it now. You see a naked black dude with a chain. In fact, this must be some homoerotica joint here. It's got to be. There's nothing but men here in this thing. So you see a Confederate flag. The guy is, oh God. There's a Confederate flag in the background. You have two white guys that appear to be inspecting this black guy who's naked and is being he's standing up, but he has a chain around his neck, and he's being pulled by the chain by one of these white guys, and they obviously have cowboy hats on. They look like Brad Paisley lookalikes. So I can't forget. Oh, now, as a matter of fact, I look at it even further. It's definitely an auction block. There's other men, white guys in cowboy hats, on the looking at this black guy. It's an auction scene, but it's got some kind of, I guess, some kind of hidden sexual thing going on now. And it's crazy. It's crazy, and it's consensual. I mean, we're never going to get beyond this. The song has become even more ridiculous within seconds. even more ridiculous. Because now you have people playing weird games. I mean, and I read a little bit of the article, and you have all these people that have just, it's just excuse building and weirdness, and I don't know. Some may say on a psychological level, on the parts of the black and white participants, that they're doing this thing to work something out. So in some way, there's another photograph, if you go scroll down, where you see a black guy in someone's basement. It looks like it's a basement thing. And he's got his back, image of, and I've played the clip before, the image of Kunta Kinte / LeVar Burton being whipped, but this time it's a bikini-clad white woman getting ready to whip this guy's back, black guy. Now, under normal circumstances, I can find that sexually arousing, but it's not happening. that can't do it, Captain. It's a bikini-clad white woman with the cat of nine tails about to slash the back of a black, I guess, a willing black participant. That's supposed to be sexy, but it's not. I mean, I think I spoke to someone about this. If Halle Berry approached me, you know what? I don't want to go into that. Let me retract that. Captain, what are your thoughts on this? What is this?
Well, first of all, underneath, there isn't any circumstance where I'm going to be whipped in any way, shape, or form. That does, regardless of who the woman is. That's just not my thing. You know, if that is your thing, that's up to you. Now, the first time, some years ago, perusing the internet, I saw something like this. You know, sometimes, you know, you might be perusing the internet, and then you go on certain sites, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right? So I saw something like that. I looked at it for about 15 seconds, and I was saying to myself, nah, couldn't be. And the woman, it was a woman with a black male chained up, let me know, about years ago, and she was making all these derogatory terms towards the black person. I was like, nah, it can't be. So I just kept going. And I have not seen anything like that since. And now you bring the article to me. Now I just go right back to that day. And we're going, that was about 12 years ago. About 12 years ago. So I think these individuals have lost their mind.
That's what, you lost your mind.
Well, you know what? The BDSM thing has always been problematic to me, for the basic premise.
Yes.
But I never once thought. I mean, you know, listen. It's all about dominance and that kind of thing, submissiveness.
Yes.
But you never saw it played out, and I never consciously thought about it on a racial dynamic kind of thing. We know people play all kinds of games and that kind of thing, and we know people, there's restraining involved. We know people who might want to liven up their sex lives, whatever. But it was never put out there from a racial perspective. Now we're hearing they have retreats for people to go. There are plantations for people to go to, Captain, to reenact this on a pseudo-sexual, psychosexual level. And this is, you know, you can have the black and white participants, I don't know what's going on, but especially the black participants, this was never a game for the Africans that were brought over here as chattel slaves. This was never a luxury.
That's never a luxury.
So just on that, there will never be a point in history where we can go back to this casually and play this out. We can't be this, you know, this is what the song is trying to make us, allow us to do. We can go back fondly and talk about the slavery days. You'll never be able to do that. But these people are trying to do this on a weird sexual, and like you said, racially derogatory terms, because they want to keep it authentic. That's fair play in this world. And I don't get it. This is disturbing. We got a call. We got about 3 minutes. Let's get to the call quickly. Caller, it's Afronerd. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm assuming you're talking to me.
Yes.
Hi. This is my first time listening. I'm actually enjoying the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think. I'm in awe over here. I'm in awe. I don't know what to think. What is going on in this world? What is going on with these black men? What is going on with these black women? I just don't know what to say.
Well, you know what? You know what? I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you stick with our show, because we're going to get into a lot of things. Our apologies once again. Rolanda Watts, she will be coming on at some point. We have to reschedule with her and definitely check our archives. But I'll tell you this much. This is something we talk about on the show a lot. Urban radio is doing a poor job of actually informing black folks. Now, we're bringing this topic to
purpose.
You.
That's on purpose, though, excuse me.
Well, it's definitely on purpose. And that's why, you know, it's important to go to the podcast, the internet radio, because we'll play the different kinds of music. We're going to give you different information. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, there's so much minstrelsy right now, or neo-coonery, as I call it. Neo-coonery, neo-minstrelsy. I've seen XXL rap magazines with black men showing their teeth as if they were enslaved. Showing their teeth. I mean, no one says anything. You've seen the twerking videos. The black people use the N-word like it's Tourette's.
Black folks have
Tourette's with the N-word. So all this is going on, and it's making it more comfortable for people to do this crap.
Oh, my God. I don't think they realize the damage that they're doing. But I think I saw a glimpse of that. I kind of passed through on my Facebook page. But I really did not pay it any attention. Now that I listened to what you were saying, I said, oh, my God, I believe that's what that was about. But, see, I sometimes don't allow my eyes to see what is being shown to me, and I purposely do that. But I think I glimpsed at that, but I didn't pay it any mind. I moved on, you know, past
Listen,
that.
It took me 24 hours to get to the topic, because I got the email. I said, no, this can't be it. I glanced at it and said, no. I had to prepare myself for the stupidity. But let me repeat this. Unfortunately, Cole, we got about seconds before we go. We're going to be back on Sunday. But remember,
Saturday.
You have Saturday. You have black folks that are going to plantations to play weird sex games with white people, and they're doing the slavery thing. They've made slavery into some weird sex game. I leave you with that.
God.
We are in trouble. We are in trouble. Lil Wayne can defecate on Emmett Till in a song.
Oh.
You're back to being slaves, and now it has happened. Continue listening.
Before you go, now you come on every what?
Wednesday and Saturday.
You go Wednesday and Saturdays at what time?
Wednesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 6 p.m.
Okay, where is this located? Where are you guys located?
Well, we're broadcasting out of New York.
Okay, I'm in Tennessee.
Simply go to AfroNerdRadio.com. Just Google AfroNerd. Google AfroNerd, you'll find us very easily.
I don't even know how to spell that, but I'm going to look on your page and see if there's anything that I can look at.
AfroNerd.
Afro, okay.
AfroNerd. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. And Wednesday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Cap, listen, we got to move on up. Let's go to a quick jammy jam. Folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. After the actual live broadcast, we're in the podcast form now. Again, Saturday, 6 p.m., the Comic Shop, and then 7 p.m., Afro Nerd Radio. This is London Souls giving you the best of urban alternative black rock music. Stand up. See you guys on Saturday. Once again, it's been a pleasure.